Mike. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, mate. And I guess a long time in cricket for you. You started off as a player, played cricket for Devonport. But tell us a bit about your early days and how you got interested in cricket and what sort of spurred that interest.
Yeah, look, it seems a long time ago, Mike. I started off as a kid, as you do in primary school, and then played out the Don Cricket Club for a few years, and then found my way into the Big Smoke with the club at Devonport there, and that was just a wonderful experience. 6 years at Devonport, then played with many good players out there, a lot of mentors, who, namely yourself, who played in that great era at the Devonport Cricket Club. Took a break. Did a few things with work and university, and then finished off having 4 years at the Bernie Yeoman Cricket Club a bit later on.
What's the comparison between the two clubs? I mean, I know Bernie's the most successful club in Northwest Coast cricket history. Their success rate is phenomenal. But any real differences between the two clubs?
Yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, I grew up in Devonport, but I've lived in Burnie since the late 80s with work. And, you know, just the two cities are chalk and cheese too in terms of the people and the background and what's made the cities. And the clubs are no different. Look, both clubs had fantastic senior people there. Like Devonport had a pool of players back in the early 80s there that were very successful too. Gary Goodman, you know, Shield player. Then at Burnie, you know, you had players like Danny Buckingham, Dale Baker, Shane Walker, Guy Gray, just a host of good, solid people and great players and servants to the game of cricket. In terms of you know, how they rolled, yeah, look, different feedback and different coaching and different mentoring from all those players. You're right, Burnie was very successful, and so was Devonport when I played there. But look, Burnie, I think we played in finals every year. I think we won 3 grand finals in 4 years, which was lovely to be associated with.
And what sparked your interest in playing cricket as a real youngster? I know you played a bit of hockey back in the day. I think your dad's a pretty successful hockey player. So was it hockey first, or was cricket always in the background? How did it all evolve?
Yeah, look, my dad Ron, he was a life member with the West Devonport Hockey Club and the Devonport Surf Club. So that's where I started playing hockey, but I didn't start playing hockey until I was finished high school, to be honest. But Dad was fairly influential in my cricket career, particularly, you know, through primary school, getting a game at Nixon Street Primary. And it just kind of rolled on from there. You kind of drift from the schools to the country clubs into the Cricket Northwest or the NWTCA, as it was back then, into the turf cricket clubs. Which, when you're a kid, that was the big time, playing turf cricket.
Yeah, it was. I mean, nothing wrong with the hard wicket competitions, because so many wonderful players have come from the BCL and the MVCA and all the other country associations, the Leaven and all these comps. They all spawn really good cricketers, don't they? And they're important for the total makeup of cricket in Tassie, aren't they?
Oh, certainly, and that's how it has to be too. I mean, surf cricket is not for everyone. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to play with some really good country cricketers. Great people to play with, very good cricket players, and some of them have adapted to turf cricket like a duck to water.
Speaking of ducks to water, you've taken to cricket administration as like a duck to water, to be honest. And what was the catalyst to get you to give back something to the game that you sort of hadn't been in for overly long as a player? What spawned the interest?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Like, you look back on it after I've had 17 years now involved with the combination of Cricket Northwest and Cricket Tasmania, and I was pretty young when I got involved. I think I was only about 35 or 36, and I had no intentions when I'd finished playing cricket to get involved with cricket administration, but I got asked, I think it was about 2003, and Sagey was, Mike Sage, that is.
Yeah.
The one and only. He was the president of Cricket Northwest at the time, and he got me involved, and I think he lied me up, to be honest. I think about 9 months in, he said, look, I'm going to be finishing. Do you want to take it on? And when you've it's interesting. When you're 36 and you've had no experience in, you know, administration, in chairing meetings, in what's good governance, in, you know, negotiating and dealing with stakeholders, you kind of you go in fairly kind of raw, but you learn from the best, and then you, I guess, you apply your own touch and your own style to it. And I've been fortunate enough through the journey to work with many good cricket administrators, particularly at a Cricket Tas board level, and with Cricket Australia as well. So I guess, yeah, I've learnt. You kind of pick up what you do, you know, from the people that you admire the most and the people you think have been successful, and you tend to kind of apply your own style to that.
When you first came into administration, what were the tasks that you had and the most difficult ones to address? Because when you've got a lot of these competitive clubs around, we're talking Cricket Northwest here, NWTCA back in the day, what were the toughest negotiation bits with cricket clubs?
Yeah, look, I look back on it and I'll never forget the last A-grade grand final I played in at Devonport, and Mike Sage was president, and it was a year where it was a really interesting grand final back in the days of four-day grand finals, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. And the game seesawed and got to the last day. I think Bernie Yeoman, we needed 40 runs on the last day with 10 wickets in hand. And it was a beautiful day of sunshine, bar a couple of showers, but it had rained the night before. And we never got a ball bowled on that final day of cricket, and we lost. Mm. And I can remember the absolute drama and the tension that was going around the ground, and there was a couple of administrators there, and I'll never forget that. You might wonder why I ever wanted to take a head with cricket administration after experiencing that. But it was just a ripper grand final, but it was just an unbelievable conclusion. But to go back to your question, look, I guess I've been fortunate enough in that period of time when I was president of Cricket Northwest for 10 years is that we always had good people involved with cricket. Now, that's not to say that we never had stoushes or disagreements and opinions, but I can honestly say that the committee people over that 10-year period and the club presidents I had to deal with over that 10-year period were first-class people. And I've always said cricket's always had great people involved. There's been a very low, if I can say, very low dickhead factor.
There've
been great people to deal with. And, look, as I said, that's certainly assisted the job, but also made the job a lot more pleasant.
And I guess Cricket Northwest has evolved, NWTCA, etc. The games are sent. Cricket's an interesting game, Chris. It hasn't changed that much, and the rivalries between all of the clubs are still so very strong. I know you've been out of the caper for only a short period of time, but that rivalry, I talk about the NWBU quite a bit with their rivalry and the way that competition in basketball has been held up so well, and this holds up extremely well too with that rivalry between all the clubs.
Yeah, it does, and look, it's a fantastic competition. It's been around for many years. I think it's getting close to, I think we're approaching 70 years as the NWTCA Cricket Northwest.
Hmm.
And yeah, and look, you just look back at some of the, you know, the Hall of Fame people who have been involved in the competition, and you know, it was tough cricket. You know, a lot of those rivalries have been built up over many, many years, and it's cricket's a game where you can play for a long time. You know, that's, you know, you look at some of the players, they're playing for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years plus. Well, over that period of time, you not only build up a lot of friendships, but you also build up some rivalries.
Mitch, stay with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll speak more cricket. There's plenty to talk about. My special guest is former player, Cricket Northwest President, Cricket Tas Deputy Chairman and Director, Chris Mitchell. Welcome back to the Sideline View. Michael Maney with you this afternoon, and my special guest is Chris Mitchell, who's had a wonderful career as an administrator in cricket, not only on the northwest coast here, but also Cricket Tasmania, as I mentioned just prior to coming to the break, a deputy chairman of Cricket Tasmania, director for a long, long period of time. Mitch, The Greater Northern Raiders, is that one of the highlights for you in getting up and about? Because I know when I was playing NWTCA cricket back in the day, as you said, in the 80s, we always wanted to have a Greater Northern competition or something that was just going to be that higher level than the company that we were playing with and against during that period of time. The Raiders concept, is that something that you're really proud of?
Yeah, it is, Mike. Look, a little bit of history, and you'd be well across this, but, you know, the Northwest Coast and Launceston have produced many great Tasmanian players and Australian players. And in the last, you know, probably 10 or 20 years since cricket had to be centralised in Hobart, and quite rightly so, in my opinion, to get the best facilities, the best coaches and the best group together. But in that, you know, one of the trade-offs with all of that has been the fact that we've probably, you know, the North and Northwest has probably struggled to contribute their fair share of players to the state networks. And that's because, you know, Premier League cricket was centralised in Hobart. So 4 or 5 years ago, Mike Hussey, we had a review of Tasmanian cricket, and Mike Hussey was involved. And one of the things that he came up with was that Northern cricket had to be more involved with Premier League cricket. And that's where the Greater Northern Raiders were born. We're 4 years or 5 years in now. With most things with new teams, you've got to take some baby steps first and get your resources and your coaching personnel right. Now we've got, you know, who I'd consider as the best coach in Tasmanian cricket, with Tim Coyle heading up the Raiders and Darren Simmons heading up the women's team. Tim's been involved now for, this is his third season, and look, he's just a wonderful bloke. He's a fantastic coach, and he's the right guy that we need involved with that program at this point in time.
Much resistance from the clubs in Hobart, or do they embrace the Raiders? I've lived interstate, as you know, for a little period of time, but I wouldn't imagine there'd be too much resistance having extra clubs in, extra players to play against.
No, look, I think initially it was very well supported and taken on board by the eight clubs down in Hobart. At that time in cricket, I think most people knew something had to happen. And, you know, we kind of know in Tasmanian cricket that we need our players coming from the northwest and the north as part of contributing to that state network. Because, I mean, Tasmania's been a great training ground to bring on players from interstate and develop their state and national careers, but we understand in a state of 500,000 people that we still need local players to make up our Shield team. So this team provides an important stepping point whereby one of the key reasons we established it was trying to give the best players the opportunity to play in the strongest Premier League competition, but they could do so from the luxury of the north, you know, from their homes, so they didn't have to travel down to Hobart too soon. And, you know, if a player can play for the Greater Northern Raiders for 2 or 3 years and find their feet, play against their peers, and feel that elite cricket is their pathway, well, this gives them that 2 or 3 or longer period of years where they can, I guess, get set themselves up, play against their peers before they decide to make the move to Hobart.
Long may it continue, and I think you're right. Tim Coyle is just one of those rare people that come along who's a motivator, a smart operator, and he's learned a lot from Greg Shippard when Greg was here. We know how well and successful Greg has gone in his coaching career. So long may the Raiders continue. Just a final one, Chris, on Cricket Tasmania being on the board, a deputy chairman. That must have been a big thrill for you to, as a young bloke still from Northwest Tassie, to get in there and really just see how things work from a Cricket Tasmania and also a Cricket Australia board level. Must have been a wonderful experience.
It was a wonderful experience, and look, it's like most things in cricket, it's the people that you meet along the journey. I'll never forget my first meeting down there back in 2004, and I must say, Sage, he probably sold me a little bit short as to what was involved. God love him, and We had a chat over lunch, and he said, "No, you'll be right, mate. We'll be fine. There's not much to it. You'll get your feet in under the table and sort it out pretty quick." But I'll never forget walking into that first meeting, and you know, it just struck me then that you know, they're by far and away the most professional sporting association in Tasmania. You know, by way of size and resources, it's, you know, you're dealing with a lot of stakeholders at that board level. It's not just Cricket Australia. You're dealing with three levels of government. We run a venue. We've got a food and hospitality in a venue as well. We host AFL football down at Blunston Arena. And then on the cricket side, you know, you've still got 20 clubs that you oversee around the state, three associations. There's five teams now. You know, we're dealing with not only Big Bash men and women's, Sheffield Shield, the Futures League, and the women's, you know, 17 years ago, there, you know, women's cricket was it was around, but it wasn't at the levels of what it is now with the WBBL and the WNCL. You're dealing with media. You know, it's a massive sporting organisation, and I guess when you look at what's just happened with the Ashes Test against England, where Tasmania and Hobart was put on display around the world, you know, we've been to countries all around the world, just not just cricket. You know, you look at the USA, where the second biggest Indian cricket population is in the world. The exposure that cricket and the exposure that Tasmania got, you know, out of that Test match was phenomenal.
Yeah, and really did put the map on the map, so to speak, didn't it? And it was, absolutely brilliant. Well, Mitch, I know you're out of cricket. I don't know how long you'll be out of cricket administration. I know you've probably got business interests and you've got things that you want to do in your life, but I know a lot of people on the northwest coast and right throughout Tasmania are indebted to the hard work that you put in. A lot of these positions are not paid. You put in a lot of time, and I think we all admire the way you've gone about it. Thanks very much for coming on the Sideline View. It's been a real pleasure to catch up with you, Mitch.
Appreciate the time, Mike. And yeah, look, cricket's been a big part of my life, and it's not something you walk away from. Got a lot of friends and associates that you still keep in touch with. The chair of Cricket Tasmania, who are remiss of me to add, Andrew Gagan, a fantastic friend and doing a great job down there with Cricket Tasmania at the moment.
Thanks for coming on, Mitch.